Our God is mighty, and our God is amazing, and our God is filled with love and compassion and concern for us. And all He asks back from us, beloved, is that we love Him and we teach others to do the same. As we get ready to enter into a new year, I always like to spend either the last Sunday of the old year or the first Sunday of the new year revisiting who we are as a body of believers and what it is that God calls us to do. And I want you to understand that loving God, loving each other, and loving the world is more than a catchy slogan. It is who God calls us to be. It embodies the great commandment that we're going to look at first in Matthew 22, 37 through 40, and the great commission that we'll look at in a few. We're going to look at it this morning, but we'll look at it in depth when we get to it a little bit later in our study through Matthew's gospel. Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 40. And He said to them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets." And then Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. "But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. When they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" Loving God, loving each other, and loving the world. That's what Jesus calls us to do. Let's pray. Father God, we love You so much, and we thank You for the reading of Your perfect and infallible Word in our midst this morning. God, as You illumined the heart and mind of Matthew when You gave to him this perfect and infallible recollection of what Jesus said and did, we ask that You would illumine our hearts and minds this morning, that You would cause us to understand and apply these two great words to our own lives and to our own ministries. God, we love You so much. Help us to show it in the way that we study Your Word this morning, and more importantly, in the way that we live out Your Word, not just this morning, but throughout the rest of this year, throughout the rest of next year, and throughout the rest of our lives. Thank You, Lord, for hearing and answering this prayer, for it's offered in and through the name of our risen Lord and Master, Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. Obviously, we're at the end this Sunday of a new year. This is the last Sunday of 2020. And I would venture to say that many of us are going to be very happy to bid a fond adieu to 2020. We've had to learn a new normal. We've had to learn how to do our ministries in different ways. We've had to learn how to do familiar things in unfamiliar ways. And I suspect that many of us have discovered new ways that God has called you to minister in His name and in His love. Now, again, I like to set the tone for this. And And honestly, at one point, I thought about going through the various components of our logo, but I didn't send a good picture of that to Brian to have up on the screen. And we'll talk about our logo at another time, how all of that fits into who we are in loving God and loving each other and loving the world. But it's my earnest plea that all of us are actively looking for ways to put into place each of the components of our slogan. In other words, every day we ask ourselves, how can I love God more today than I did yesterday? And then we ask ourselves, how can I love my brothers and sisters in Christ? Not just the ones at Concord, but those around the globe in the church universal. How can I love them more? And how can I love the world? By sharing the gospel with those that have never heard, or those who have heard and have ignored it multiple times. In the great commandment, which we studied just a few moments ago back in Matthew 22, that's what theologians call this section of Scripture. Because the young lawyer came and asked, Lord, what's the greatest commandment? What's the most important commandment? What is it that I can do? What's the bare minimum that I can do to get along with God, to be thought of well by God? And Jesus boils down, listen, beloved, we're going to look at it in a minute. We're going to go through the Ten Commandments. I'm going to show you something. You probably never looked at them this way before. But Jesus boils down the Ten Commandments to these things. He says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. See, beloved, all love flows from God. All love that we have in this world flows from God. If we are having problems in our relationships, it is generally because there is a love problem of some kind. And Jesus is teaching us that we're not going to be able to love our neighbor as ourself until we love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind. And listen to me, beloved. Maybe that's the reason that we don't share our faith the way that we ought to. Not because we don't love our neighbor, but because we're not loving God the way that we ought to. You see, Jesus inextricably links these two together, that we are to love God, and out of that, then all of our other relationships will flow. As we begin a new year, all of us hope that the new year is going to be better than the last. And if the new year is going to be better than the last, it's important for us to take stock of our most important relationship, and that is our relationship with God. In 2021, God calls us to love Him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind, and to love others as we love ourselves. Jesus gives to us a great commandment and a great commission, and He is calling us to live both of them out in 2021. Verses 37 through 40. Now, we know that a young man had come up to Jesus, a lawyer, and ask him a question, testing him. And in verse 36, he said, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" Now, this was personal for the Pharisees. They loved to sit around and debate which of the commandments was the most important. They would debate the ones that you could probably break and get away with, and which ones that you definitely could not break and get away with. And so this young man walks up to Jesus and he says, "Lord, what is the most important commandment?" And Jesus says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." Now let's just stop right there, beloved. If we take care of this, then everything else flows. If we take care of that, then everything else will flow properly out of that. Jesus is not setting the law over against grace. He is showing us that our prime duty in life is to love God with all of our being. And he says that we're not going to be able to love others properly until we love God the way that we're supposed to. We can only do what we know. I cannot love someone I do not know. And therefore, if there's a problem in my relationship with God, if there's a problem in the way that I love God, then perhaps the problem is that I don't know God the way that I ought to know God, that I don't know God as He has revealed Himself in His Word. That I don't know God the way that He has revealed Himself perfectly in Jesus. Jesus calls us to love God for Himself. Not for what He can give us, but for Himself. He calls us to actively love God. Listen, beloved, love is an active emotion. It's not something that you can do passively. You can't be passive in love. If you love someone or if you love something, then you're going to demonstrate that love in some way. Jesus is calling us not just to say that we love God. In our Sunday school lesson this morning, that's what we were talking about. The priest in the temple said they loved God, and they went about all of the right things. That's why, listen, beloved, that's why Baptists are not a liturgical church. It's why we don't read prayers. It's why we don't have a lot of the things that you'll see in our high church brethren. Because it's very easy. If the words that I say up here, I'm saying because that's what the program says, it's very easy for those words to become rote and to very soon become meaningless. Not just to me, but to the people that hear the exact same words every time they go into the church. And so Luke gave us that contrast between the priest and Anna. The priest did what they did because that's what their job was. If they didn't make the sacrifices, they didn't eat. Because part of that meat went home with them to feed their family. If they didn't do what they did, then it affected their livelihood. Anna did what she did because she loved God. Luke made a point of telling us that Anna was involved in prayer and fasting. Now, I don't imagine that Anna ran around the temple and when she came in said, "Hey, everybody, today's my fast day. Don't offer me any donuts and coffee before the service. I'm fasting today." This woman did what she did because of her love for God. And when Jesus came into the temple, her heart sang with joy because she was seeing the very one for whom she had been praying all of her life. See, she loved God more than she loved what God gave to her. She loved the God of her blessings more than she loved the blessings of God. There's a difference, beloved. Are we like Job? Can we say that even though God would slay me, yet I will praise Him? No matter what's going on in our lives, can we say that I will love God no matter what? And if we have to choose between loving the God of our blessings or the blessings of our God, that we will always choose the God of our blessings. Because wherever God is, we're at home. Now, we have to find our contentment in God. We just sang a song that said that we looked all over the world and we hadn't found what we were looking for. Let me tell you something. You are not going to find contentment in this world. It's not possible. Because this world was not designed to bring you contentment. The only place that we're going to find contentment is in God. And out of that relationship with God, out of that contentment with God, flows everything else that we do in our lives, because now we're set free from the pressures of trying to find something that we're never going to find. We have to hate sin. I did not say we have to hate sinners. We're really good at that. We hate them. Now, don't you look at me and say we don't. I know better. We're supposed to hate sin, not sinners. We can't love God and sin at the same time. We must allow the things that grieve God to grieve us. Do we love God more than anything else in the world? And having found contentment in Him is the very beating of our heart for everybody else in the world to experience the love and the joy and the peace and the contentment that we have found in Him. Jesus connects the two. He's quoting Leviticus 19:18 when He says the second commandment is like this one. He says, "You shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the sons of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." Now, are we going to do what they did? Some of us have already done it in our mind. Some of us are already thinking about all of this. And we're saying, "Well, who's my neighbor? Who's my neighbor?" Jesus wants us to understand everybody is our neighbor. Everybody is our neighbor. And out of the love that we have for God, That means that when that love is flowing through us, we're going to determine to seek others' own best interest because we delight in God. You know, one of the things that we miss the most this Christmas, I don't know about y'all, but the things that we miss the most are the children's plays at church, right? How many of y'all, if your grandchild or your child was going to be up here in a play, would go out into the community and say, "Now listen, whatever you do, don't come to church Sunday. Because my child or my grandchild's going to be on the stage and I don't want you to see them." Well, of course we wouldn't do that. If we had enough money, we'd take out an ad in the newspaper telling people to come to watch our child. We delight in those that we love receiving the admiration of others. Do you understand what I'm saying? If we delight in our children receiving recognition and receiving honor, then ought we not delight in seeing God receive honor and God receive glory? And it's our responsibility, it's our joy, it's our ministry to go and tell others about that love. Galatians 5:22, Paul gives to us the fruit of the Spirit. And he tells us, look which one is first. The fruit of the Spirit is love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. When the Holy Spirit has taken control of our lives the way that Jesus says He will. Now listen. Not always a fun thing when the Holy Spirit takes control of us. Because Jesus tells us in John's Gospel that one of the primary ministries of the Holy Spirit is to bring conviction of sin. And so the Holy Spirit begins His work in our heart. And He brings us under conviction for the sin that we have exercised against God. And then He shows us the love that God has for us. And when we experience that love, you see what happens next? We have joy. You understand? You can't have joy without love. You can't have joy without love. You can't have peace without love. You can't have patience without love. Listen, my wife's put up with me for 38 years. She's been patient. And if she didn't love me, you know, we took vows that said we'd never divorce one another. But she might be thinking, that death do us part stuff. I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill that boy. But because she loves me, she's patient. You can't have kindness without love. You can't have goodness without love. You can't have faithfulness without love. Jesus is showing us that the whole point of our relationship begins with love. It's the result of the Spirit's work within us. It's something that God does in us. God changes our hearts. Now, the way that we do this is to teach the atonement of Christ and the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit. It's not enough just to announce standards. Is it? You know what? Don't you love when some wag from the world, when we're talking about a law, they say, well, you can't legislate morality. No, you can't. But every single law we have on the books is an attempt to do just that. If announcing the standards was enough, there would never be any more crime. Because we got laws on the books to cover anything that you can think of doing. It's not enough to announce standards. We have to be permeated with love. Let me show you something about the Ten Commandments. Exodus 20, beginning in verse 3. You shall have no other gods before me. Why not? Would it be all right if I went and married another woman? I'm pretty sure my wife would not be on board with that. Why not? Because she's not going to share my love with anybody else. We will have no other gods before God because He is to be the focus of our love. You shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the water underneath the earth. Let me go back to my relationship. You know, when we go to the store and buy a picture frame, that picture frame usually has somebody else's picture in it. You think my wife would be okay with me putting that picture frame with a picture of another woman on my desk? Or carrying around the picture that came in my wallet and saying, well, it came, you know, no. If I'm going to carry around a picture of anybody, it's going to be a picture of her. You shall not worship them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, on the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing loving kindness to thousands, those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Why? If I started insulting my wife, then that means I don't love her very much, does it? You don't insult people you love. And so you don't take the name of God in vain. For the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. Next group of verses. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. What if the last time I had seen my wife was the day we got married? And I said, well, that was enough. I told her I loved her on that day. And I moved into my own house and went on about my own business, never called her, never wrote her a letter, never sent her a Christmas card, never did anything. No. I have to intentionally spend time with the one that I love. And that's what the Sabbath day is about. Listen, beloved, it's not about what you can and can't do. It is about intentionally setting aside time to spend with God. Honor your mom and your dad. Why? They gave you life. They gave you love. And God is saying, show some love back to your mom and your dad. Next one. You shall not murder. You know what happens? When you decide to kill somebody, you've lost love for them. Now, I drive my wife crazy. I love to watch those science shows, Forensic Files, and all of that show how, you know, a little speck of DNA that they found on a crime sent somebody to jail. And it's always the husband that's the suspect. And he'll go in, you know, in that interview, say, I loved my wife. But then you found out that he killed her. You don't kill people that you love. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. Once again, love is at the heart of this, beloved. If you love your husband or your wife, you're not going to step out on them. You shall not steal. You don't steal from people that you love. Okay? You shall not bear false witness. Okay? Don't lie. You don't lie about people that you love. And you shall not covet your neighbor's house, his wife, his servant, his donkey, his ox, or anything that belongs to him. Why? Because you love him and you're happy that he has the things he has and you have the things you have. And so do you understand now that the Ten Commandments are not about rules and regulations? It's about love. It's about love every single one of the commandments deals with love. Love to God and love to others. In Matthew 28, 16 through 20, Jesus announces that he has authority. But I want you to look at how he qualifies that authority. He says, all authority has been given to me. Where? In heaven and on earth. Jesus is saying that there is not a place in the universe, that there is no place, no situation, or no person, no circumstance that lies outside of his authority. And then Jesus says, do you see what he says? I am with you always, even to the end of the age. No matter where you go, Jesus says, I'm going to be with you. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. You are with me. Now, one imperative controls this whole passage, and it is make disciples. And the word go is a participle. And so Jesus calls us. Jesus calls us to get out of our comfort zone and to just go. To just go and make disciples, however that looks. Whether making disciples involves knocking on your next door neighbor's door and talking to them about Jesus. Whether it involves calling a lost family member and talking to them about Jesus. Whether it involves going on a mission trip, a short-term mission trip, to tell people about Jesus and minister in Jesus' name. Or whether it involves becoming a vocational missionary and going to the mission field to live there and to tell people about Jesus. However that looks, Jesus tells us to go and to make disciples. And that should affect the way that we view our lives. Now, notice what Jesus does not tell us to do. Jesus does not tell us to make decisions. Jesus tells us to make disciples. Decisions come and go. Disciples remain faithful. And you notice that Jesus gave parameters on what we're to teach his disciples. All that I commanded you. Well, now, wait. That's an awful lot. So we need to get them enrolled in a Bible college and then after that send them to seminary and spend their entire life studying the Bible from cover to cover. Well, that studying the Bible cover to cover is a good idea. Well, what was it that Jesus taught them? We just read it. That you're to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. See, when love governs everything that we do, then the rest of the Bible naturally falls into place. In Ezra 7:10, I love this verse. If Jeremiah 20 verse 9 wasn't my life verse, this one would be. For Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to practice it and to teach his statutes and ordinances in Israel. To study it. Ezra knew that he can't do something he doesn't know. And so he studied the law of God. And then he went out to practice it. A few days ago, Angie and I were flipping through the television. I was waiting for her to come back, and I just parked on something to kill a few minutes' time and until she came back to the room. And there's one of those fishing shows on. How many of y'all remember growing up with Bill Dance and watching? Yeah. Well, there's a fishing show, and this boy was out in his bass boat, and he had more fishing rods in that boat than I'd ever seen in my life. I've seen stores that didn't have that many fishing rods in them. And let me tell you something. I am the last person in the world you want to try to teach you how to fish. I know how to do it. I just don't know how to do it well. And the two biggest fish I ever caught in my life, I caught by accident. I can't teach you how to do something I don't know how to do myself. And so I have to study the law of the Lord. And then I have to practice it in my own life. And then I can teach His statutes and His ordinances to other people. I can teach them the love that has been brought to me. And so I close by asking, are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? If so, are you a disciple maker? That's our charge from the King. That if we ourselves are disciples, to be making disciples ourselves. And so, beloved, let us go forth with the gospel, proclaiming Jesus Christ as Lord and calling sinners from every people group to follow Him as Lord. Will we study? Will we practice? Will we teach what God has taught us? We should, because that is a great commandment and a great commission. That's how we love God. How we love each other, and how we love the world. Our hymn of invitation this morning is hymn number 326. Excuse me. If you're watching this morning and you recognize that you can't go through another year like this one, that you can't go through another year without knowing that you're loved, knowing that you're cared about, and you've never acknowledged Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, please go to concordbc.org/contact and send a message. I'll get that message and I'll be in touch with you before 12:30. If you need to know Jesus this morning, would you just very simply say to Him, Lord, I'm laying it all on the altar. I've heard Your call and I know that You can use me somewhere. And so I surrender my all. If you have other decisions that need to be made this morning, then you reach out to us. You know how to contact me. It's on the webpage. Our phone number is there. Multiple ways to get a hold of me. But if there's something you need to talk about, then you get in contact with me. And we'll talk to the Lord together.